This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, June 15th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Our producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always a joy and a privilege to be with you, our Relevant Radio family. On Wednesdays, I always take a moment to remind you to pray to Saint Joseph. Remember that Saint Joseph is a powerful intercessor, so we say, go to Joseph. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, first thing this morning, I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what are some of the big stories making headlines on this Wednesday morning?
Well, John, yesterday some primary elections and special elections as well. In Texas, the Republicans picked up a House seat. Mayor Flores won a seat there, first Mexican-born representative coming from that area, and so that's a plus for Republicans there. A mixed bag from South Carolina, both in the Republican primary in terms of those looking for the influence of former President Trump. One of his endorsed candidates won, another one did not.
What is your take on Mayra Flores becoming the first Mexican-born congresswoman to serve in the House? Do you see this as a trend of Hispanics going Republican?
That is what folks are kind of taking an eye on, is surveys show that Republicans are getting a little more support from the Hispanic community of late. And we'll see in what could be a very dramatic change coming up in the midterms.
Meanwhile, the heat wave continues and will continue today. There were some records set in 50 states yesterday, more expected today with temperatures in the high 90s with the humidity factor making it feel like close to 110 degrees. Sarah, how did your little ones stay cool?
Well, we tried to jump in the pool for a little bit. We had some popsicles. We tried to stay close to underneath the fan. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't necessarily have air conditioning. The whole time of my childhood, I remember you'd go in the tub, you get cooled off in that nice cold water, and then you sat in front of that box fan and went, ah, ooh, to the sound, and it always made fun sounds. So those are my favorite memories. Unfortunately, you know, now we have all this air conditioning in the house, you don't need to sit in front of that box fan. But I think the kids are missing something, because that was some good times.
Yeah, my 14-year-old played two baseball games last night in that intense heat. So, needless to say, they were drinking lots of Gatorade on the bench during those ball games, Glenn.
You know, one of the things we did when I was a kid, we did have an air conditioner in one room in the living room, but that didn't really help you when you were sleeping. And so we'd go out on the porch to sleep, which as a kid, that was kind of cool. Or if it was super hot, the basement was even cooler. And so we had, you know, a few in-house camping out opportunities that we enjoyed. But, you know, anybody who's not had the joy of talking into a fan, as Sarah has mentioned, is missing something.
Well, I know one place that is always has to be cool, and that is NHL arenas. And that leads us to Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, which is tonight, Tampa Bay at Colorado. The Avalanche first finals since 2001. The Lightning knocked off the New York Rangers in six games to get to this point, as heard on ESPN.
Avs control, held, out for Makar, shot stopped, rebound, Luckinen scores! The Colorado Avalanche are headed to the Stanley Cup Final!
And wow, that was quite an exciting finish there for Colorado. Either way, it's going to be one heck of a final. And we do have the Tampa highlight.
Panarin tried to whack it in front. Final seconds ticking off. Tampa Bay wins. They're on to the Stanley.
and they're trying to win Lord Stanley's Cup for the three-peat, something that hasn't been done, Glenn, since the 1980s, way back when the New York Islanders did it between 1980 and 83.
That's right. My Minnesota North Stars is one of the teams the Islanders knocked off to make that happen. Hard to do three times in a row, but tough team there down in Tampa Bay. But the Avalanche out in Colorado, they are the regular season champs in terms of best record, and a pretty tough team. They had their hands full with Edmonton, but handled the Oilers nonetheless, and so should be a good series, and maybe that cools you off a little bit to be able to keep your eyes focused on all that ice, John.
Absolutely. We will be keeping an eye on that starting tonight. Thanks again. We begin every program, every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit to hear every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from 2 Corinthians 9:6. The Apostle St. Paul says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Some people think that God gives sparingly depending on what we deserve. However, that is not the case. God often gives bountifully no matter what we do. When we give generously, we open ourselves to receive God's bountiful giving. As Jesus the Lord reminds us, it is better to give than to receive. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, I want to shift gears and talk about the upcoming Father's Day, which is this coming Sunday, as we reflect on the example and the call that God the Father issues to men, especially in roles as husbands and fathers. Saint Joseph stands in today's world much as he did at the time of Jesus as a silent example of what it means to be authentically masculine and how to lead our families in a way that is radically countercultural. Joining us now live is Catholic evangelist and author Omar Aguilar, the director of liturgy at St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Dallas, Texas, with much more on St. Joseph and authentic masculinity. Omar is the host of several Catholic and pro-life programs on Spanish radio and television, as well as the author of the book Latino Católicos en los Estados Unidos, Latino Catholics in the U.S. Good morning, Omar. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's always great to be with you.
It's always great to be with you, John, and happy Wednesday to you and to all your listeners.
Happy Wednesday. Are you staying cool down there in the Lone Star State?
We're trying. I was just listening to you guys, all the different tips that you were giving us about staying cool this hot summer. But yeah, indeed, it's been quite a challenge. But nonetheless, we're trying to do the best we can.
You know, I remember I lived in Houston for about a year back in my early TV days, and when it would get up around 100, I would go to the Galleria, which is freezing cold. It has an ice skating rink inside, and the people would just flock to the Galleria in Houston to get out of the cold. I don't know. I mean, to get out of the heat and stay cold. I don't know if that still goes on today. I imagine so.
Oh, absolutely. Pretty much any convenience store or any big grocery store, you can be safely going there and cool off for a little bit. But nonetheless, it has been a hot few days.
All right. Well, I think this is a very relevant topic here for this morning, as we're going to talk about husbands and fathers and how we're called by God to be gatekeepers against the evil that wishes to enter our families. What is your perspective on the role of husbands and fathers, especially during these times?
Absolutely. Well, one of the first things that we need to understand and to realize is that masculinity and manhood, they're good things. This is something really good because it comes directly from God. The same God that created heaven and earth, the same God that decided that it was okay for men not to be alone. So we're not only created in His image, but our masculinity or manhood comes directly from God. And this comes along with the sets of duties, responsibilities, and privileges that we follow His commands. And there is no one better than Saint Joseph that can lead us in this perfect example in achieve these qualities that God has given us already. Just think about, you know, Saint Joseph. He was to get married, but he was to remain chaste. He was to get married, but he will have to take his wife, take his child away from his hometown and move away. He was to get married, but all throughout his life, he was to follow the lead and the will of God. And even for us nowadays, it's pretty much the same example, and we're called to do the same thing. So our masculinity or manhood, it's something really good, you know, nowadays in this crazy world that we're living in with this whole false idea of the battle of the sexes that we're always fighting against woman and man and all of these things. That's totally nonsense, because at the end of the day, we are called to be not only created in the image of God, but to follow His lead, to listen to His voice, whatever it is that He's leading us to, it's going to be something good. So, you know, for us men nowadays, it seems like we're fighting these two worlds, you know, that the world is calling us to be this way, to look fame, to look for money, to look for pleasures, to look for instant gratification. And then on the other hand, there's God that is calling us to something bigger, something higher, something way better for us. So we're always fighting these two, but and all of these is good, or masculinity or manhood, there's something really good.
Omar, we know that the Saint Joseph really is a model of manhood, but we need him more than ever today, especially when you consider all the many threats that are harming and affecting men. Can you talk about some of the threats that men have to deal with when they try to be husbands and fathers of families?
Yeah, if we look around, you know, to TV shows, to social media, to music, to movies, you know, the role of the father, of the man in the family, he has been dumbed down in many ways. You know, fathers come across as something clueless, that don't know what to do, you know, that they need to be carried around and they need to be told what to do. And that's totally false. You know, that's totally false, because God has given us this gift of our manhood or masculinity that is going to lead some of us or most of us to fatherhood, to be the head of the family, to be, as you said it at the beginning, to be the gatekeepers, right, of the family. We are responsible for our child, for our wives, for society at large, if we want to put it in this big context. And so for us is to understand nowadays that we do have a set of responsibilities, but they're not just a set of responsibilities. God has also given us the talents, the gifts, to be able to carry on this mission as Saint Joseph was able to carry on the most important mission of the face of the earth, to carry, to take care of our Blessed Mother, to take care of our Savior. And if he was able to do it, all of us have the same gifts, the same talents, the same capabilities to do the same. And so nowadays we need to kind of look for those good examples to make sure that we follow the right lead, right? Because it's pretty easy, particularly with social media, right? That perhaps we start following the wrong people, we start following the wrong leaders, and that will lead us away from the will of God. And so for us, the biggest challenge right now, nowadays, is to understand that God has given us these gifts, these talents to carry on His mission. And more than once, we will feel like it's not, that we're not capable, that we're not worth it, that it's way too big for us, that I cannot do this. But nonetheless, God will always lead us. He will always walk with us. He wants to be part of our life, and that includes or manhood, or masculinity, or fatherhood. And so for us, it is important to stay close to God at all times.
Well, Omar, here at Rutland Radio, we have a special devotion to St. Joseph every Wednesday here on the show. I always remind the folks to pray to St. Joseph, to go to Joseph. And St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei, also had a strong devotion to St. Joseph. In fact, he said this: St. Joseph was an ordinary sort of man on whom God relied to do great things. He did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do in each and every event that went to make up his life. And I think that there's some great wisdom from the words of St. Jose Maria about St. Joseph.
Absolutely. You know, nowadays we think that true manhood, true masculinity is just these superheroes, right? These men with out of this world powers and ways to do things. But nothing further from the truth. The truth is that each and every one of us, you know, in within our limitations, within our square, within where we live, God gives us the talents, the gifts to carry on, to do what he wants from us. But also at the same time, this is a good time to be reminded that we also need to be and get in sync with God, right? Because sometimes we go about our life, we go about doing things, making choices, taking decisions, and sometimes we don't do the right things. And then we're wondering and questioning, why God? Why God? Well, in the first place, sometimes because you don't even ask God, because you don't even communicate with God, because you're not listening to God. So as men, if we truly want to be a man, if we truly want to live our masculinity, we should start by asking God, what is it that you want from me, God? What is it that you're asking me to do? And, you know, and start following his lead. Start trusting in God. Start listening to him. Because, yes, even though he might not call us all to be superheroes in the sense of the world thinks a superhero looks like, we all have the power to be a superhero when we are able to carry on and to live on our mission or fatherhood or manhood or masculinity according to the will of God.
There's so much that we can learn from St. Joseph. St. Joseph was a righteous man, as Scripture says. In other words, he was holy. As men, we can imitate the desire for holiness. He also loved Jesus, something that we can imitate from St. Joseph. And of course, he loved his wife. He loved the Blessed Mother Mary, which is really important for us to also love our wives.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, this beautiful set of examples that St. Joseph has leaving us behind, and we can always follow his lead. You know, once again, think about it. You're about to get married, right? And one of the and part of a marriage is to be chaste, right? Is to be faithful to your wife. That still is the same for us. It was not only for St. Joseph. That's still up to this day and forever until Jesus comes back. It remains the same. We married men still need to be chaste and faithful to our wife, right? To raise our children, to take care of them, to make sure that all their needs are taken care of. That's the same. It was not only for St. Joseph. It's for all of us, right? And within your marriage, within your fatherhood, within this life, we are to follow the lead of God, to listen to his voice, right? Even though sometimes we might not completely understand what is it that he's asking us, trust that he will lead us to a greener pasture, know that he will lead us to a better place. And that was not only for St. Joseph, it's for all of us. So sometimes we might even think, oh Lord, this is too much for me. You know, this area you're asking me is too much. But nonetheless, it is not too much for us because God is the one asking us, God is the one leading us. But all of us need to start understanding that we need to trust God. We need to pray more often. Even if we don't know how to pray, Lord, show me how to pray. Lord, what is it that you're asking for me? But we need to start, and we need to start doing it nowadays, because now more than ever, the figure of the Father needs to be restored, needs to be brought to what it always has been, the image of this God that takes care of his children.
And again, there's just so much that we can learn from St. Joseph. All you have to do is pray the litany of St. Joseph. You see all the many qualities. But just a couple that I wanted to mention here at the closing of our segment. St. Joseph embracing work, sanctifying work. He's known as St. Joseph the Worker. And also St. Joseph embraced the will of God. Two areas that if we follow Joseph in those areas, we're on the right track.
Oh, absolutely. And before we go, I just want to share something with your listeners and with you. You know, trust in St. Joseph. All throughout my life, I have only known twice a novena to St. Joseph. And every single time he has come through, every single time that I put my trust and my needs to St. Joseph, he comes through. And I promise you, he will do the same for you. And first of all, he will lead you to God. He will lead you to his son, Jesus. He will lead you to his or Blessed Mother, Mary. But at the same time, he will give you those things that you need, not only to take care of your present situation, of your present life, but also to lead you closer to God. So I encourage everyone, if you never done a novena to St. Joseph, to perhaps do it nowadays. You know, we're going through many different crises nowadays. Trust in St. Joseph, because at the end of the day, he knows. He knows how to lead all of us to be closer to his son.
Amen. Well, Omar, I appreciate your perspective and your inspiration to trust in St. Joseph, the head of the Holy Family. And much like the Blessed Mother who points us to her son, so does St. Joseph. You can't go wrong by going to Joseph. Thanks so much, Omar.
God bless. Thank you.
Catholic author and evangelist Omar Aguilar, the director of liturgy at St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Dallas, Texas. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Our Rome correspondent Ashley Narona will bring Rome to home with the latest news on the Holy Father from the Vatican. So stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
Down each avenue of a street or strada, you can see him disappearing two by two.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. It's good to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And now it's time to bring Rome to home, as we do every Wednesday at this time. For the latest news from the Vatican, we go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. And you can read more about them at johnandashley.org. Good morning, Ashley. Buongiorno. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always great to be with you from beautiful Roma.
Ciao, John. Good morning. Really glad to be able to bring Rome to home today.
Absolutely. Ashley, what was the main message this morning of the Holy Father's Wednesday audience in St. Peter's Square as he continued with his teachings on the value of old age?
Yes, indeed he did. And today, John, he reflected on the account of the healing of Simon's mother-in-law, the Apostle Simon's mother-in-law. Of course, we know and love him here, also as St. Peter. And this is all from the Gospel of Mark. And he pointed out that we don't know what her illness was. We don't know if it was a mild illness. But the Holy Father went on to say that in old age, even a simple fever can be dangerous. He said that when you're old, you don't have command over your body. And so you have to learn to choose what to do, what not to do. And we see that Jesus sees the sick woman, he takes her by the hand and he heals her. And with this gesture of love, the Pope said, Jesus gives a first lesson to the disciples. And that lesson is that salvation is announced, or even better, it's communicated through attention to that sick person. And the woman's faith then shines in gratitude for the tenderness of God. And he noted that in old age, of course, the vigor of the body fails, but that doesn't mean that the heart ever stops yearning for God and yearning to serve. And so he urged the elderly to have patience in this and to continue to persevere, continue with that yearning to serve and to love God. And he noted too, another lesson from this scene of Jesus healing the mother-in-law of Simon, that Jesus didn't visit the woman alone, but instead he went there with the disciples. And so the Pope said that it's very important to build Christian community to visit the elderly. And he said that it should be done by many people together, and it should be done often. And he said, now more than ever, when the number of the elderly has increased, people in community should go visit the elderly. And it's really important, he said, to bring young and old people together because the young can learn from the wisdom of the elderly. He said that a society that truly welcomes life is one that recognizes that life is also precious in old age, precious in disability, in serious illness, and even when it's fading. And he encouraged all of the faithful to start a prayer ministry, especially for the elderly. He said that in addition to feeling that responsibility to visit the elderly, he said to also present them to the Lord with prayer. And of course, this is all the more poignant, John, coming from the Holy Father, who is right now suffering with such terrible pain, his inflamed ligament in his knee. We've seen him at all of his events recently in a wheelchair. Of course, just canceled his trip in July from the 2nd to the 5th that was planned to South Sudan, and also canceled his presiding over Mass and procession for Corpus Christi tomorrow. So certainly these themes are running very, very close to the Holy Father's intellect and heart.
And the Holy Father knows firsthand about accepting one's physical limitations when you get older, because, as you said, not only has he been in a wheelchair lately, but he has also had to walk with a cane when he's out of the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So, you know, I have a feeling that in a lot of ways, he really speaks to things that are on his mind and heart right now. And this emphasis that he gives on the gratitude for the gifts received from God for the elderly, asking all of the elderly that despite the feelings of helplessness, which he has referred to a lot, to continue to be grateful to the Lord and to continue in a spirit of service, to ask that question, how can I serve today?
And of course, the Holy Father, as he's been doing now for over 3 months, has continued to pray for peace in Ukraine, to remember those who are suffering in so many ways in that horrible war.
Yes, he did. In fact, this was his 56th appeal, public appeal for peace in Ukraine. He has asked everyone to remember, to pray, and to help these people who are suffering so much. He said they are carrying out a true martyrdom. In fact, in Sunday's Angelus, he spoke about the danger of getting used to war and just being accustomed to it and forgetting to pray. Instead, today he said that we should not forget the war-torn people of Ukraine and never get used to war as if it were something distant that didn't impact everyone. Instead, he urged all to let their memories, their affection, their prayers go out to the people of Ukraine who are suffering so much and carrying out that sense of martyrdom, John.
And we're talking about 7 million people that have left Ukraine because of this war. So we have faith in the Holy Father's consecration of Ukraine and Russia back in March. And we don't know when the fruits of that consecration are going to pay off, but we continue to unite ourselves in the Holy Father's consecration and prayers.
Yes, indeed, we do.
Meanwhile, there's some good news going on in Italy when it comes to the pandemic and the masks finally going away. This has been a long time coming, Ashley. How's it being received?
You're telling me, John, it has been a long time coming. So indeed, our health undersecretary, Costa, has announced that the mandate to wear masks in cinemas and theaters and at indoor sporting events is for sure going away. So basically tomorrow is the day. It's being called Liberation Day because we are getting a little bit more freedom. But let me tell you, it's not a sure deal for everything, because actually the Parliament is voting today on whether the obligation to wear face masks on public transportation, in hospitals, in nursing homes should continue. And if it does, they will continue it until September. So we shall see what happens with that. The Italian bishops I have still made it obligatory to wear masks in churches. So we're going to see, too, if in these next days with this change, the Italian bishops also have something to say on the matter and drop the mandate as well. So very interesting for sure. Yes, we shall see, John, but we're quite pleased with this.
My goodness, Liberation Day. It sounds like yes. The end of the war.
Yes, practically, right? You know, people, I think, are really ready for a whole lot of reasons, and especially as the summer heat comes on. I think as more, and more information has come out showing that the need is not there. So with that said, I think everybody's hoping for the best.
Meanwhile, here in the U.S., many, many people are waiting to see what happens with the Supreme Court, whether or not Roe v. Wade is overthrown. And so we know that the issue of life is in play here. What is going on in Italy? I understand that abortions are decreasing there in Italy.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, I'm so excited to be able to tell you that actually abortions have gone down about 9.3% in the last couple of years. And so that comes down to about 66,000 abortions a year. Interestingly, this decrease was seen in all geographical areas and all age groups, a little higher amongst younger women and foreign women. But the exact number of abortions, for example, in 2020 was 66,413, and that's 5.4 for every 1,000 women between the ages of 15 and 49. And so, that is down from the year before. So this makes the abortion rate of Italy one of the lowest in the international level. So it's pretty exciting news, John.
Ashley, do you have any sense as to why it's gone down?
I wish I could say that it was for purely moral reasons. Unfortunately, contraception use has gone up as well. So we over here in Italy really need lots of prayers in order to bring back the faith, to revive a sense of the faith. And so we certainly are doing our best to evangelize in a lot of ways and to share the truths with the people who we might say that in a way so culturally used to the truths of the faith that it's become something that they don't pay much attention to anymore. So certainly one of our personal goals has been to evangelize through every method that we can get our hands on to share the truth.
Well, we know that the battle between the culture of life and the culture of death, as St. John Paul II used to describe it, it's not just in the U.S. This is a worldwide event, and obviously it's affecting Italy as well. So we continue to promote life for our friends in Italy. Meanwhile, we've talked about it so many times about how Italy has a way of having big celebrations for their feast. How was the feast of Saint Anthony celebrated these last few days on his feast day, June 13th?
Right. Well, John, you know, it's funny because so often we call him St. Anthony of Padova, which is, of course, a town in northern Italy. But he was born in Lisbon, Portugal. But of course, the Italians have just adopted him. So they definitely see him as one of their homeboys. And one of the traditions that goes on in preparation for his feast day is that from the 1st of June, people participate in the Tredicina. And this is referring to the 13 days of preparation from the beginning of June until his feast on the 13th. So during that time, the Tredicina is the name of a special prayer that's recited in honor of Saint Anthony. It's actually divided then into 13 prayers. So part of it is celebrated over each of these 13 days. And the popular devotion is that the saint grants those who are especially devoted to him 13 good graces every day. And then there's the tradition of the pane di Sant'Antonio. It's also sometimes called the bread of the poor. And what happens on his feast day is that loaves of bread are blessed and distributed to the faithful. And the idea is that they're meant to be enjoyed, consumed with the family. Now, the tradition goes back to a miraculous event that is linked to Saint Anthony. And the story goes that the mother of a 20-month-old baby, his name was Tomasino, walks in to find her child lifeless. He had drowned in a tub full of water. And desperate, the woman invokes the help of Saint Anthony. And in her prayer, she made a vow that if she would obtain the grace to have this little boy back to life, she would give the poor as much bread as the weight of her child. And indeed, little Tomasino, thanks to the intercession of Saint Anthony, miraculously came back to life. And so that is the origin of the tradition of the blessing and the distribution of bread on the feast of Saint Anthony on June 13th. And these days, parents still ask Saint Anthony, they, in exchange for protection for their children, they promise Saint Anthony to give as much bread to the poor as the weight of their children. So it's sometimes called the work of the bread of the poor, or the Caritas Antoniana, the idea of taking care of bringing food to the poor, bringing this basic necessity of bread to the poor all over the world. And that's all in the name of the great Saint Anthony, John.
I love it. San Antonio di Padua, is that how the Italians say it?
That's it.
All right. I'm working on it, Ashley. I'm working on it.
Bravo. Bravo.
Thank you. Grazie, as always. Really appreciate you bringing Rome to home to our audience. Ashley Narona, a Rome correspondent who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app and just go to Relevant in Rome. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Greg Erlitson, the director and editor-in-chief of Catholic News Service, will share with us an interesting tale of two weddings. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you on this Wednesday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. Now, how do we attract people to our church, that is, to the Catholic Church? How do we invite people to come and see? These are questions that are being asked with greater urgency these days, also being asked by our next guest. So-called nuns, that is, those with no religious affiliation, are growing in numbers, while too many Catholics are walking away from any sort of consistent practice of their faith. Joining us now for more perspective is Greg Erlitson, the director and editor-in-chief of Catholic News Service. Good morning, Greg. Thanks for joining us once again. It's good to be with you.
Good morning, John. Glad to be here.
Well, Greg, can you tell us how you came to the realization that there are opportunities of evangelization that might be right in front of us, might be close at hand?
Sure. And it starts with the wedding of my sister, who was being remarried later in life. Both she and her new husband, their previous spouses, had passed away, and it was an incredibly joyful experience. And she had planned the liturgy and experience, knowing there was going to be many non-Catholics or non-practicing Catholics at the wedding, and she wanted something beautiful for them. And I had two friends who neither were Catholic. One of them was pretty much not practicing anything, and they were so impressed by the beauty of the wedding, by the welcome and the spirit of the priest. The wife told me later, she said, "I almost converted right there."
Wow.
A couple weeks later, they went to another wedding, another Catholic wedding, I guess hoping for the same experience, and they had something much more negative. And the priest, for reasons I still don't understand, gave a homily about the five stages of marriage, and those stages were infatuation, disappointment, misery, resignation, and finally acceptance. And you and they and this couple, I talked to them afterwards, and they were just sort of shattered by that experience, and had yet another harsher look at how Catholics do weddings. And I came away with it thinking about, we don't realize, I think, often that every time we go to Mass, every time we attend, especially if we attend a special celebration like a baptism, a funeral, a wedding, there's so many people there who may have little experience of Catholicism or may have a painful experience with religion, and we have an opportunity to reach out to them there. And when we blow that opportunity, it's an incredible disservice. The positive side of it is when we are welcoming, when we reach out to people, when we invite them in, when we, in a sense, show them the loving community that we are and should be, we can really change lives. So that was the genesis of my column.
I love it, and it's the name of your column is The Tale of Two Weddings, and you can read the entire column at the Catholic News Service website, catholicnews.com. I find your story very intriguing because when my wife and I, Cindy and I, got married, we got married a little later in life as well, and we went purposely with a desire to want to have the most beautiful possible Catholic wedding that anybody's ever seen. And I tell you, we went all out. The wedding was in Latin and English and Spanish. Father Rocky was the main celebrant. Misa de Angelis, I remember it was called. It was just magnificent. And in fact, the guy who filmed our wedding said it was the most beautiful wedding he's ever seen at St. Mary of the Angels Church in Chicago, which looks like a baby St. Peter's Basilica. It's just breathtaking. So there's something to be said about the beauty and the majesty of the Catholic Mass during sacred matrimony that can really touch people's hearts. It's really a great way of sharing the faith, of evangelizing, which reminds me of St. John Paul II, who said it's not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others. And what a great, easy way to introduce him to others than to invite folks to beautiful events like a Catholic wedding.
That's absolutely true. But it's not just a wedding. Unfortunately, I've been to three different Catholic funerals in the last 5 weeks, Catholic funerals, and funerals are another opportunity there. When people are in grief, they want to they're open to what God might be trying to tell them there, and obviously it's a moment of sadness, but these are always moments of openness. These are moments when God can break through. There's the joy of the wedding, or the expectation of a baptism, or the sadness of a funeral, and yet those are moments when we can reach out to people. And what would be nice is if we could bring that mindset into every day or every Sunday that we go to Mass. The person we hold the door open for, the person that we greet, the person that we reach out to after Mass, if we say they might be sad or in need or lost, those are precious moments if we can take advantage of them. And I think what God's challenging us to do is don't just stay in our bubble, don't just stay in our cocoon, our happy little Catholic cocoon, but to reach out to people. I think that's what John Paul II is advocating, and I think that's what all of us as Catholics and Christians are called to do.
Greg, do you think that we as Catholics can be more inviting in our local parishes, especially to folks that may not even be Catholic, that are coming into our churches on any given Sunday or for a wedding or a funeral, to make them feel at home and make them feel more welcomed?
I really think that we need to be more intentional about that. Excuse me. I think that we can reach out, and I think some parishes can be quite creative in doing that, even to the point of inviting people to get to know the Catholic faith. I was in a parish once where they did that about once a month, and they could promote it and say if you'd like to learn more about our faith. They just assumed there were people in the gathering who, it may have been a non-Catholic spouse, or it may have been friends who were visiting, or out of towners. invite them to come and learn more about the faith. I think it's important. The gospel says they'll be recognized by the way they love each other. And I think that we need to be able to show that love and get away from sometimes our own worries and our own concerns or our own little fights that we're fighting in our heads and realize that we can be the hand reaching out and inviting people to come in. We can't always expect that Father's going to do that. I think we need to assume responsibility for this as well.
What about couples? How can couples ask their priest to prepare a more meaningful and a more beautiful a wedding mass and homily to really inspire the folks of what holy matrimony is really all about?
Well, I think then the level of engagement of the couple with their faith is really important. I remember when my wife and I were married eons ago, we sat down with the music director and we had clear expectations of what we wanted. And he said, this is so rare to have this. I think wanting to having an engagement with the faith and wanting to express it, that's first and foremost most important. And then I think it does help. It can't always be the case, but it certainly helps if one has a relationship with the priest. In my sister's case, she runs a very large Catholic Charities office in Los Angeles, and she had worked with the priest who ended up being the main celebrant. And so he knew her, she knew him, and that was extremely helpful in making it more personal. And it'll always be different. As you described your wedding, you know, you had Latin and English and Spanish there. My sister wanted, you know, some contemporary songs. I remember the song that just melts me is the Servant Song, and she had that as a prelude to the Mass, and that idea of serving each other, which is really, I think, a terrific theme for beginning a marriage. But each couple will have their own imprint. I think it's just hoping that the couple has something that they want to share. That's the key.
Greg, would you agree that at the end of the day, nobody really remembers the color of the napkins or the centerpieces? They don't remember all that.
Yes.
They remember the beautiful Mass, the moment when they said, that they commit themselves, forever, for life do us part. That's what they remember, as well as possibly a powerful message from the priest in the Mass.
Well, you're going to get me in trouble with my wife, but before the wedding, we were making little flower arrangements to put on the ends of the pews, and I was grumbling about the fact that no one will remember the flower arrangements. But it was certainly part of the beauty of the Mass. But you're absolutely right. At the end of the day, we might remember a little bit of the homily, but what we really remember are the faces of that couple as they turn and are presented to the people gathered there and are greeted with applause. And I will never forget the smile on my sister's face. I mean, it was just so joyful. And that's the takeaway.
In final moments, some advice to an engaged couple that might be listening as they prepare for their wedding.
Well, if I could just, I wrote something in another column about marriage, and I said I just wanted people to know marriage isn't a slog, it's an adventure. And the sense of discovery, of passionate encounter that leads you to the altar is just the first step. Love grows, it deepens and enriches. There are low moments, of course, every relationship has them, but they are followed by other moments of incredible joy and tenderness, solicitude and comfort, and yes, still passion. And it is all these moments that give flesh to the words pronounced at the altar. And that's my takeaway. It's the beginning of a wonderful adventure.
Tremendous perspective. We put up a link to your story, A Tale of Two Weddings, on our Morning Air Facebook and Twitter pages. Greg, thanks so much for being with us this morning, for your wonderful perspective on The Tale of Two Weddings.
Thank you, John.
Greg Erlitson, Director and Editor-in-Chief of Catholic News Service, and now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Heaven's Surprise. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, by the lights or its decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, the trash. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I'd love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, child, he said. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd see you. Luke 6:37 says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Really appreciate that one. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Marcel Taillon, will be with us to continue to discuss the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart of Jesus as we continue to honor the Sacred Heart here in the month of June. And our personal success coach, Dave Duran, will be with us once again to talk about 7 things that get in the way of success. Stay with us. Don't you dare change that dial. There's much more to come next hour here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.